Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Game Changers on 101.5.
On the radio.
FM radio.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
And online every Wednesday.
The radio.
We like video games.
Yeah.
We like collecting video games.
Yeah.
Playing them?
No.
I'm Megan.
And I'm Alice.
And that is what we do. We talk about books.
I was like, yeah, what? Okay, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. All books.
Only books.
No.
Because video games rot your brain.
True.
It's true. So we've been playing some games in the last couple weeks. Last week.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had some time to go through the library.
Mm-hmm.
And I came across a game called Maneater.
Yeah.
Because now we have that fancy PlayStation Plus streaming service, and it's available on there. You get to be a shark.
Oh, that is cool.
It is. I think it's very cool indeed, because I also like RPGs. And I like the fact that you can start this shark off as a baby shark. Do-do-do-do-do.
Rip.
I'm sorry that I did that. And eventually get into being a big shark. Because sharks are cool. There's a reason why there's a shark week on Discovery.
Yeah.
Because sharks are cool.
Sharks are neat. Yeah.
This comes to us from Tripwire Interactive and Blindside Interactive. Respectively, they've given us Killing Floor and Rising Storm.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the exact premise of the show is... Game.
The show.
Game. Be a shark, level up, and eat humans. It is set up to be like a reality TV show in the vein of what you would find on Discovery or sci-fi.
Mm-hmm.
Following the life of Scaly Pete, who hunts sharks and is a Cajun fisherman.
Yeah.
And he ends up, the beginning of this whole thing is he ends up slaying your mother.
Yeah, the mom.
The mother of your character. And... you are sent off as a brand new baby shark to survive in the wild.
Okay.
Then, after that, the narration follows you almost like a science documentary of the life of a bull shark.
Yeah.
Very specifically a bull shark. Who are apparently the trash cans of the sea. They have no discrimination in what they can and will and want to eat.
Ah.
So, this is your whole life. This is the whole premise of the game, is to eat as much as you can, get bigger, fight bigger apex predators in the environment that you're in, get bigger, get stronger, explore further. Eventually, you do get to fight killer whales.
Okay.
And apparently in the DLC, I'm going to spoil this a little bit, you get to fight a mosasaur.
Okay.
So, it is, yeah.
Like Jurassic Park.
Just like in Jurassic Park.
Okay.
That is Maneater. It is rather gruesome, but it is funny. It's got some very good voice talent. The narration for all the science bits and the reality TV show bits is Chris Parnell,
mm-hmm.
who you would know from Archer.
And Rick and Morty and, like, and 30 Rock and, like...
That's the one that I'd mostly know him from. Or Bob's Burgers.
Yeah, I was like...
Yeah, so, no, definitely well worth a check out if you want some hilarious... adult gruesomeness.
Mm-hmm.
Some humor. It's got some good humor. And then I decided to do a palate cleanser, and I picked up Slime Rancher.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not a gruesome man-eating situation.
Okay.
Slime Rancher, you are a rancher of slimes. It is a first-person life simulation adventure taking place on a planet known as the Far Far Range.
Okay.
So it's not on Earth.
Okay.
And you collect the slimes, you put them into the enclosures, make sure they are happy and well-fed, you can make them bigger and fancier as you go along.
Okay.
And collect these things called plorts.
Okay, and these are the slimes, or what?
The slimes make the plorts act as currency, which is like slime shards.
Okay.
So it's a very... mostly chill game I found until I got too many slimes and had to try to keep them all happy and stop them from escaping and going evil and rogue and eating all of my chickens.
Yeah.
Because they will do that. They will break out and try to wreak havoc on your ranch if you aren't careful and don't have a high enough fence.
With the slimes?
With the slimes.
Okay.
And wild slimes will come in and try and do the same thing.
Okay.
If you crossbreed your slimes too much, they'll turn into like this evil goo that will just eat everything. Slimes, ranchers, and whatever they can kind of find.
Oh. Yeah. That's bad.
It is bad.
That's bad.
Good thing they cannot survive against water.
Why?
I don't know. That is your only fight mechanic in this thing, is to spray things with water.
Is it because it's like a really passive, like it's chill, like, you know, it's not like, I don't know, acid or, you know, laser gun. You know, water is just sort of spraying them down, right?
Yeah, because water doesn't hurt the regular slimes, but the evil goo slimes. Yeah, so that takes care of them quite well. You don't need acid, you just need water. It doesn't hurt regular slimes.
Okay.
So you go and explore a map. You have like your basic slimes, your basic pink slimes. You got your cat theme slimes. You got your rock theme slimes.
Okay.
Yeah, we're kind of following some Pokemon rules going on here.
Okay.
You go and get those, and you eat. Just that's your first part of the map. Eventually, you figure out that you can fly. You upgrade your equipment. You can get to other hidden spots and go further into the map, and get more special slimes. I now have radioactive slimes. I have not found them in the wild yet.
Are they bad?
They will hurt you if you stay too close to them.
Okay, like, yeah, they'll cause you...
They will cause you damage.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Like, the thing is, this is really cute.
It is incredibly cute. These are... Yeah, even the evil black goo slimes, like, they're creepy looking, but they're not... They're still kind of... I kind of wish I could keep them, because they're just kind of cool and evil looking.
Personally. Why? Oh, the which one?
The evil black slimes, which happen if you... So, I'm going to get into some slime math here.
Okay.
Very mild slime math here. So, you have your basic slimes. You got your pink, rock, kitty, and so forth. And they'll spit out those plorts that you can use as money. But you can also use those plorts to give to another slime to make it into a larger, more fancier slime. So you can combine a slime to have two traits to give you two kinds of plorts.
Okay. So you can get, like, multiples?
Yeah, so I ended up making some radioactive cat slimes.
Okay.
Some lightning bug spiky slimes and some radioactive lightning bug slimes because... The spiky ones gave me more money, and the radioactive stuff gave me more money. However, if I were to add a third plort to that, that's when you start getting your black slimes.
Oh, okay, so you can only do two?
Two per slime.
Okay, and did you went, like, hog wild and started...
I wanted to see if I could contain them, and if they would do anything like give me multiple fancy stones, and they don't. They just eat and destroy and wreak havoc.
Okay.
So, that is, plort math.
Plort math. The math of plorts.
Of plorts. And I have to decide whether I want to keep some of my earlier game slimes, because they're not worth as much now, and I can either throw them in the incinerator, or throw them over the edge of a cliff, and they'll never bother me again.
Like, what will they do over the cliff? Do they die?
I don't see it happen.
I mean, well, but like, say, your slimes, if you don't feed them or whatever, make them happy? Like,
they just
what happens?
Get really grumpy and don't make anything for me. They get so sad.
Okay. I mean, yeah, like, don't do that, but I was just wondering.
No, as far as I know, I felt too bad to not feed them and give them happy music and toys to play with, so I don't know what happens if I leave them for more than a few days.
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
But if I throw them in the incinerator, they make ashes, which will apparently feed fire slimes that I haven't found yet.
So...
There's cannibalism that's involved.
That's a for sure death.
That is, that's kind of guaranteed, but like, at least they don't
you just tossing them off a cliff.
Which I expect they'll land in the water and live happy and free and wild lives where I'm not going to have to worry about them, or...
Yeah, that's what I'm just saying. One is a little... One is you setting them on fire.
To feed more slimes. It's the circle of life.
I get... Okay. Yeah.
It's that's how you keep the slime economy going on.
Okay. And what, like, you have different tools in this? Like...
Yes, so you have your water sprayer, which is just there for self-defense. You have a jetpack. You have health. You have your inventory, which you can carry only 4 things. And only a max at first of, like, 10 things that you can upgrade. Now I can carry up to 50 things.
Okay.
And as soon as you fill up your inventory, you can't pick up anything else. There's just no way that's happening. If you find something cool, mm-hmm. you have to get rid of something else.
Okay.
So, it's a pain if you're trying to feed a wild slime in order to make it bigger and explode and give you your fast travel system, because that's what they're sitting on top of, is, like...
Oh, sometimes they're blocking it?
Yeah, so...
I see.
They're just, like, giant versions of the current slimes that you can see. Like, the pink ones will eat anything. The cat ones like meat. The lightning bug ones like fruit.
Okay.
So if they're covering up the secret spots, you have to find a lot of any one food item.
All right. Yeah.
So...
And, like, is it different colors? What do you feed them? Other than, obviously, you feed that one ashes.
One feeds them ashes. Another one is, like, a puddle. You just get a pond, and it's quite happy to stay there and float.
Okay, so some don't need to get fed. They just need to be happy, sort of thing?
Yeah, they just need to be in their environment. Okay. We've got fruit, which is, like, cube berries. I've got...
Cube
berries and what looks like pomegranates. They're like an apple-y pomegranate thing.
Okay.
There's heartbeats. There's carrots.
Okay. Okay. And, so sort of like veggies and stuff.
And then there's chickens.
Oh.
Just straight up.
You just feed them straight whole chickens?
Pretty much. And I found 3 types of chickens and each different kind of slime. Like, it's a different kind of chicken.
Why are slimes so picky?
I don't know, but they give you twice the plorts if you give them their favorite food.
Okay, do you get to name them?
No, that's unfortunately, you cannot name a perfect slime. You can pick your favorite slime.
Okay, I'm okay with that.
But you cannot...
I was sort of wondering if you could do, like, have a little friend.
Because I can't name them, I cannot get emotionally attached to them. I don't feel bad about throwing them in the incinerator to feed other slimes.
Terrible. I was like, that's good. No.
But the chickens I feel a little bad about because...
You're just raising them to be slime food?
You're just raising them to be slime food.
Megan, how could you?
And eventually the chickens will get really old and you have to decide, like, they don't do anything for you anymore other than exist. And you have to decide, does this chicken live out its life existing or does it get sent to the cat slimes to meet its purpose?
No, but like, do the cat slimes like old chicken? Like, do they care?
They do, because they don't, old chickens, it's like own type of thing.
Yeah.
They want like the rock chicken specifically, and if it's just a general old chicken, they're like, I guess it's edible,
this is more complex. This is too complex.
It can get pretty complex, yeah. And I don't know, it had my attention for quite a while, and I'm kind of excited to see, because Slime Rancher 2 is coming out this year.
Yeah.
So I am going to pick that.
Oh, I bet you that you can name your slimes in that one.
And get, like, emotionally attached to one. This is my slime, Bessie.
Well, it'd be cool if you could name your favorite slime at least, right?
Yeah, I'd like to keep one of the radioactive cat slimes, personally. They make me sick, but also they're bright green.
I'm like, that's
cute.
That's so bad idea.
I know, but if I could have like its own little enclosure just to be cute and
in
exist.
His own slime bubble.
And I'll feed him a chicken every day.
Oh no.
To make him happy.
Just get like a plastic bubble that you put a chicken in.
A hamster ball chicken.
A little bit. That's what I'm this is terrible. At least there's slimes and this is a video. And it's also cartoony, right? I would assume the chickens are also cartoony.
The chickens are cartoony.
Yeah, and we see them poof or something and feathers happen when they get eaten, right?
Thankfully,
or we don't even know.
No, we just hear a very sad cluck.
That's okay. So,
one of the funniest bits, because you can do trading with your neighbors, there's one that will come up who's in like a long trench coat and a hat, and it's quite obviously a bunch of slimes in a trench coat in disguise.
Oh, cute.
And all they want is chickens.
Oh.
And all they'll be able to say is, chickens?
That's good.
And they'll give you a whole bunch of cool stuff if you sacrifice.
I mean, I feel that's pretty, I like that. That's cute.
It is very cute. It's a good joke. It's a good game. You can get yourself very involved. I will warn you.
Yeah.
But I will be excited to find the next game when it does come out.
Excellent.
But until then, I'm not going to talk too much about it now, but I do have Cult of the Lamb, and I'm
Oh yeah, you're playing that.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, and I can't wait to get back and re-educate my followers. They're dissenting again.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm gonna come back next week and tell you more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You do that.
I will. Video games, Alice.
What did I play? I played The Looker.
Oh right.
Yeah, which I really liked. The Looker is it's a free game. It's a parody game, I would say, I guess.
Yes.
In a way, yeah. It's a parody of The Witness. You know, like it's called The Looker. Very funny. It's very funny. It's neat. Like, I've once again never have played The Witness. I've seen people play it and I sort of get how it is. Whereas The Witness is sort of like, I want to say, a series of pretty complex puzzles.
I've played it and I don't have the capacity
to get through them. Yeah, they're a series of complex, I don't know, like maze puzzles to an extent. And this sort of like, it's very funny. So it has, for one of these puzzles, it's basically you draw a line from start to end, the word start to end. And often this can also go into, you are just changing it from, like S to E. So start to end, same thing. And it just sort of like, you go around this little sort of castle area and you are sort of trying to solve these puzzles. To solve more puzzles, right? Like, that's the thing. At one point, it turns into sort of, like, I guess, maybe, like, Doom, I guess, Doom style, because you have shotgun and you shoot stuff. Now, granted, it's, like, it's really short. And then there's a jump scare, which, of course, got me pretty good. Because I was like, you don't die in this game, right? Like, that's not the point of this game, right?
We've been scared by games like this before. I think that's legit.
Yeah, yeah. Like, and I'm fairly sure this is by, I don't want to say if it's by one person for sure, but it's by Subcreation Studio. And it's very funny. Like, for example, there's a hint button you can press, and it just sort of says things like,
You can do it.
Yeah, and it's very funny. It's quite a clever. And, like, even though I haven't played The Witness, I know of it, I know how it sort of works, I can see how this is, like, it is, like, lovingly making fun of, because there are some difficult puzzles. Like, it's not, it's, like, obviously the first part, I'll say, is easy, because it wants you to sort of understand that, you know, you draw your red line from one side to the other. But then it does stuff like, you know, which I think in The Witness it also does this. It has like a sound puzzle where you sort of have to find the sound or the dot or whatever, the beep. And in this one, you can hear like the narrator, and he just goes like, beep, beep. Oh, you're so close, beep. And it's very frustrating because it just feels like you have to cover the whole thing in red.
Essentially, that's what you had to do, wasn't it?
I have no idea is the thing because, but it's very funny. Like, it's very tongue-in-cheek. It has some little, like, radio recordings in places, like, just are scattered around, right? And one is, like, it's very funny because it starts off, like, pretty serious, and then it's just sort of like a used car commercial.
Which is just so, so, so good.
It's just, it's very interesting. And I do highly recommend it because it's, like, it's a free game. Especially if you like little puzzle games like this. There was a lot of, like, really cool little puzzles. And it's very funny, which I also really appreciated. Yeah, I'm trying to think. Like, there's nothing really else I would say go play it. Because it's the same. It's free. It's, you know, 1 to 2 hours. If you're good at puzzles, I'm good at puzzles sometimes. Sometimes I'm terrible at puzzles. But yeah. That is The Looker, which I do.
It's the only game the studio has made on Steam.
Oh yeah, no, it's a first parody game, it's very good. And I also, once again, it's free. I really appreciate that, especially since I enjoyed my time with it. Like, it was genuinely very funny. And then the other game I played, which I personally liked, this game kind of apparently is not awesome reviews, but It was Where the Water Tastes Like Wine, which is developed by Dimbulb Games and Serenity Forge, which honestly, I'm trying to remember if I've played any games by either of them. Actually, I have. It does. Anyway, but I liked it. I thought this game was neat. You play as a little... I don't know who you are supposed to be. You're like a traveler. You're someone who's traveling around America in the 1920s. I think it's like... No, it is... It's Great Depression era time. So, yeah, 1920s? Is that...
30s.
1930s? Okay. So... It is specifically America. Like, I'll say that because there is the border between America and Canada and America and Mexico, but I can't pass that. Can't go there.
You're not allowed in Canada.
I'm not allowed. But it is cool. It very literally, granted, it isn't like a 1-1 recreation because that'd be terrible and you just walk forever, but you're like a larger little, like, almost like a player piece on a game board sort of thing.
Okay.
That's sort of how I feel. This is almost set up like a game board of America in a way. And you can go to different cities. And basically what the whole thing about this is that you are collecting stories. And you're collecting stories for this wolf guy. I don't know why he wants these stories. I'm going to tell you this. I don't know. But you're also collecting stories from, I think there's 12 different individuals that are sort of scattered throughout, and they have very specific stories. And these are all written by different people. Austin Walker, Geeta Jackson, were some that I recognized, which was cool. And there's one thing I thought also is with these, like, non-playable characters, but they're, like, the only ones that actually have, like, visible faces, sort of thing, like they're actual characters. They're all very different. Like there's several black characters, there's an indigenous character, there is a, I believe she's Mexican as well. There's a lot of variety, which is fairly interesting. And it just sort of, you as sort of like a traveler and them as travelers sort of meet up and talk for a little bit.
Well, that's cool.
And, yeah, and you tell them the stories you've heard, and they'll... heard. And they'll ask you... basically, there's four choices. They'll ask you for a thrilling story, a hopeful story, a tragic story, or a scary story. And those are... And you have to choose what you think one of those are. Like, depending on what stories you find. Like, for example, I found a story that was two brothers, or two men met each other and thought they were long-lost brothers, but it turns out they weren't. And so I tell that story to several different people, and eventually it becomes, like, it goes from two brothers to four brothers to eight brothers.
Okay, so the story changes as it passes along.
Yeah, it's really neat. And similarly, there'll be things like, I saw a goat with wings somewhere. And then eventually that becomes the Jersey Devil.
I was thinking that exact thing.
Yeah. There is, I'm trying to remember, but there's like obviously like famous, I believe John Henry is there. I'm trying to think of, there's other like, I want to say like famous historical figures, or maybe not famous, but also like mythical to an extent. Like I think there's one where I was on the road to, the Headless Horseman. Right?
Right.
Like, in the beginning of that, I found a guy whose face I couldn't see, and eventually that became the Headless Horseman.
So it's just, like, the warping of stories as they go from person to person to person.
Yeah, which I thought was really cool. I really liked that aspect of it. I like to see my stories evolve, and there's a lot of different stories. Like, granted, obviously some of them, like, change for the worse. Some of them change for the better. But some of them, lots of the times it's like, something pretty benign or something, and then somebody will take it, and then they're like, because I think the other one was like, this guy robbed a bank every week at the same time just for jokes, or, and then eventually it was like, he was the greatest robber and robbed like 100 banks and never got caught and stuff, you know, like, that's sort of how, it's interesting.
There is some kind of health system. I didn't really get it. I died like 3 times, but it seemed that that didn't matter because I just was able to basically go back to where I started. It just pops you in like one of the nearest cities, I guess. Yeah, and then there's things like you can hitchhike. Sometimes people won't pick you up. Super annoying. And then you can also jump, like, get on a train. You can either pay to get on a train or you can try to jump on the train. And that's also how I died a couple times, yeah, is because I got found out on the train. I will say, like, 70%, 80% of the time, I was fine. Like, it was just a couple times that I got found out on the train.
The train police got you.
They did. But yeah, I quite like this game. Like visually, like all of the characters are all like 2D, sort of thing, except for like the sort of this game board sort of that you're walking across. Once again, you walk across America. I could see why people wouldn't like this because it's slow. You do walk at sort of like one pace. There is a way to make yourself go faster, but I didn't want to listen to the music because there's music consistently, which I can appreciate that there's a whole soundtrack for this and right. stuff. But I was just like, I don't really care. It's fine. But if you whistle along in tune to the music, apparently you can go faster. Once again, because I didn't pay attention to the music, I was like, whatever. I eventually found there is an auto walk, which is great. But yeah, like, I think one thing that maybe people don't like, or, like, I could see why people are mad, you cannot ever, like, 100% this game. There's one trophy you just can't get for some reason.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I don't know why. Like, it's literally, like, you can't get, there's just a story that you can't fill out. I didn't realize this, because I was looking, if I had realized that, I probably would have just tried a little less hard, because I really did look hard for all of, like, the stories and stuff.
Do you think they'll fix that?
No. This game is from 2018. They are not going to know it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This game is not going to be... No. And I'm, like, whatever. Like, you know, if I was a extra completionist, I would maybe care, but I don't. Yeah. But I like this. I like the style of gameplay that it was stories evolving and me telling stories to sort of get to the bottom of other people's stuff. Mm-hmm. I thought that was cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's everything we got for you for this week.
Yeah.
We're probably going to go back and play more games.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Keep changing.
Bye.